Hey, straight from Verge Magazine and Alternative Sport. Now, we are on the build-up now, only just a few days to go to the Super Bowl. Now, I've got in the big guns here. I've got in Jeff Reinbold, Sky Sports NFL. How are you, sir?
Hey, man, if I was any better, I'd be illegal.
I'll leave that there.
All right.
Now, Jeff has already got on me about, obviously my background, where there's a Jordan, there's a Kobe, which always never moves. That always stays there. Obviously, giant stuff. And obviously, you've got to have your own brand in there. But there's no LeBron. Now, LeBron last night, Jordan, is now the official top scorer of the NBA history. Is that right?
Yes, it is. It is exactly true. And you know what was so cool? To watch the moment afterwards when Kareem stepped out on the court and he handed the basketball to LeBron. Significant of the greatest scorer in NBA history, man. Think about it, brother. In our lives, the amount of incredible sport that we have seen.
That is true. That is true. Yo, I will say this, as long as you're not going down the route of calling him the GOAT, then we're going to get on just what fine.
Oh, we can have that discussion now.
Because I've got, I know we're supposed to be talking about NFL, but I've got, for my personal thing, before people start at me, as they normally do, is for my favorites, is obviously Jordan 1 and then Kobe 2. After that, anyone else can have at it.
Yeah, man, isn't it a crazy thing though that a guy who couldn't make his sophomore basketball team in high school is recognized, as you say, that Michael's the greatest of all time.
No, honestly, like, you know, I'm going to get you back after the season's finished, because we'll have nothing else to talk about, so we can get into basketball for sure.
Hey, brother, you and I will always have something to talk about.
Now, Jeff, before we go into some of these questions, because I'm going to be picking your brain, not just about the Super Bowl. Obviously, we'll leave that last because I'm going to get your pick. So there's no shirking away from it. I'm going to make sure that we get that on record. But I'm going to be, I'm going to share a story for you. I don't know if you remember this. It's like, literally, we all have one embarrassing moment in our profession in the NFL, right? So I'm going to remind you, because this actually partly was your fault. This, I don't know if you know. I'll remind you.
No.
So this is what happened, right? So I was still earning my grade, learning my path in the world of NFL. So obviously we come from the world of that has been put into us by Kevin Cadle. It's the first practice that we had, unfortunately, after he passed. But I know he'll be laughing at this. He definitely would be laughing at this moment. So you and I were in the hotel. We was at the LA Rams practice when they came over a little while ago. So Jared Goff was still under. Yeah, you remember? So they had the practice in that fancy hotel, and I saw army helicopters flying over and everything like that at the practice. So we was waiting for a press conference. So you and I were talking. You were right there with my son, and we was talking. And then another guy came over and started to talk to us as well. So I was like, oh, okay, this guy must be one of the coaches or something like that. He was all decked out in Ram stuff. So we all spoke. I don't know if you remember this. We was all speaking for about a good 20 minutes or so, and then including this gentleman. And then he said, oh, listen, I've got to go on the stage. And then I realized who it was. Sean McVay.
Hey, don't blame me, bro.
You distracted me, because I was like, who is this guy? I'm trying to think of who he was at that point, because obviously he's just a new coach. And like, you know, obviously now there's a more focus on coaches definitely over here. Before it was just players. But he was standing there talking to us, and then at no point did I realize who it was.
Hey, like, I wish that was, if I had one mistake in this business, I'd feel pretty good about myself, because I've had plenty more than one. I'm about one a day.
Honestly, that's one of the moments I remember. And every time I see Sean McVay, I sink a little in my seat. I'm like, oh my God. He was like, oh, nice to meet you. And I was just like, oh, what a nice guy. He just didn't even realize, like, who, do you not know who I am? Like, he didn't pull that out. But you know what I'm going to do? We're going to get you to play GM at the moment. So we're going to start off with my New York Giants. So we've got Daniel Dimes, Daniel Jones, and then we've got Saquon Barkley approaching, obviously, we're negotiation to their contract. What do we do? What would you do? You are in charge. What would you do?
You know, that's a great one, man, because if you think about it, Danny went into this season, he was really on a prove it deal. I mean, you know, they didn't, you know, up that fifth year, all that stuff. How good is he? The jury was out, you know, more than half of the New York media, you know, doesn't think he's good enough. There's a certain percentage of analysts that don't think he's good enough even to this day. And then he went out and balled out. And, you know, then all the focus got on him in the playoff game. And he kind of took a step back. Now, what I'm hoping is, and what I would do if I was the GM or if I was Brian Daboll or, you know, Mike Kafka or whoever, I would say, let's look at the body of work since we've had it. Not the body of work before, but the body of work since we've had it. He's grown. He's developed. He's shown that he can play at the highest level. Now, it's hard to find quarterbacks, bro. I mean, look around the National Football League. You know, you got 32 teams want them, and, you know, only about 15 have one that you could say is a legit, going to take you to the promised land kind of guy. So I would say you got to re-up him, and that probably means doing a deal with him, because if you franchise him as the quarterback, you're talking about serious, serious money. And you got a roster that you got to take care of, right? So I would go ahead and make a deal with him. Try and make it as cap friendly as you possibly can, because you got to sell on. You got to sell him on the fact that you need cash to put better players around him. He needs receivers. He needs to get his offensive line improved. And then I would go with Saquon. And if I could only franchise one guy, franchise Saquon, because it's cheaper to franchise a running back. The issue with Saquon is you got a guy who's coming off an injury, and. Yeah. You know, life expectancy of running backs isn't very big, isn't very long. So that's what I would do, because I think the Giants took a major step in the right direction this year. Man, they got to the playoffs, and nobody would have given them a chance this time last year to say the Giants are going to be in the playoffs and then go win a playoff game. And you could have taken bets in this place and not got five people to, you know, go with that one.
That is true. That is true. And you know, just for the record, I don't want you looking back on this, but I've always been a Daniel Jones fan, and I've always supported him all along the way.
Yeah, I think you're right. I mean, I think, you know, he's athletic. He's got enough arm. He's tough. He's smart. You know, he just needs better players. I mean, think about this. He's playing with a bunch of, who are they at wide receiver and tight end, right? When they get a chance to put some weapons around him, he has a chance to be a real good one. And not just be a real good one, be a real good one for a long time.
So, all right, so we're going to move on to, you know, you're going to be now an agent now for Derek Carr. Where does he go?
Now you're talking. I ain't taking no pity. Penny Annie, 3%. I want 10%, man.
Yeah. All right, we're gonna move you up. Definitely, you know, with Derek Carr, he's gonna be getting some decent money. Where would you say he's gonna go?
I think what's gonna happen with I think this is what's gonna happen with Derek Carr. I think, you know, both he and I think Rodgers is gonna play, right? Now, he gave us all that talk yesterday about going to a dark room or whatever for 4 days and deciding whether he wants to play or not. I think what's going to happen is there's not enough contenders out there that need quarterbacks. I don't see Aaron Rodgers in particular going to the Texans or going to Carolina or going to some of the other places where they need a quarterback, but they need a lot more too. I think there's only a couple contenders in need. I think the Giants, excuse me, the Jets have a roster that has the potential to be a playoff team. I think there's enough defensive players in New Orleans that if that, and you know, you still got, you know, you still got Kamara and you still got some threats on offense. I think New Orleans is the other place. Now, Carr is in New Orleans right now. He's on a, he's on a kind of recruiting trip, if you will, right now. Aaron's going to probably be the guy that makes the decision. If, what I'm saying is, if Aaron people let the Jets know or the Saints know that he wants to play number one and number two, that he's willing to go to their place, then I think he'll set the market. You know what I'm saying? Because if I'm Derek's guys right now, I'm trying to get a deal done with either the Saints or the Jets as fast as I can so I don't have to wait on Aaron Rodgers. So, you know, it's supposed to be just a fact-finding mission in New Orleans. But, bro, you've been around high-level sport for a long time, and you know that all of a sudden, if he goes in there and the Saints kind of fall in love with him a little bit, because we've got to remember now, Dennis Allen started him as a rookie when Dennis Allen was the head coach of the Raiders. So they got a history together, and I'm sure that'll play into this a little bit too. I would, if I'm Carr's people, I'd try and get a deal done in New Orleans as fast as I can.
So, all right, okay, so if he's going to go to New Orleans, which I think that would be a smart move for him. So now, obviously, the Jets are in limbo now. So, obviously, they're trying to recruit Aaron Rodgers. But now, obviously, there's been a new turn of events with Lamar Jackson. And this seems like that he's going to be going. So who do they go for? Who do they try to recruit? Who's realistic for them?
Well, see, then I think then the Raiders become in play now, too.
Oh, okay.
Because now, then I think Aaron's people are going to, and I think really with Aaron, it's more Aaron, because I think he's an independent thinker. You know what I'm saying? So now there's some advantages. Go to the Raiders, it's closer to your West Coast home. Going to the Jets, you're going farther away from, you know, what you used to, California and your people. I think the Jets have a better team right now than the Raiders do. Although you look at the offense, the part he takes, you got Darren Waller. I don't know if they're able to keep Jay, and you know they are tight, and you know that for him to have a chance to get Devontae back next to him, I think that would be really important to him, because familiarity is really important to Aaron Rodgers, and so I think the Raiders then would come into play, and now the Jets are looking at what do we do, right? So that's the kind of, I think it's a three-way struggle between those three franchises for those two quarterbacks. And then Lamar might jump in the mix, right? And then you got to make a decision. Okay, what are we going to do? Are we going to go to a more Lamar Jackson specific offense? Yeah. Or are we going to, you know, are we going to say we're going to coach Lamar up to be the pocket passer that a lot of us, and I'm one, think that he's capable of? He just has not had an opportunity to do it.
That's true. I'm very excited. I mean, definitely the state of New York has not had so much excitement, especially in the New York City, haven't had so much excitement in the off season. Usually it's just doom and gloom, and our season ended a few weeks ago.
hey, Dre, think about it, bro. Wouldn't it be something to have both the Jets and the Giants playing at a high level in the same year? Because you know how intense that rivalry is. You love New York, right? Well, you know, I don't consider Buffalo New York. New York is New York. It's the apple, bro. It's like, you know, so when the Giants and the Jets, if they could ever be good in the same year, man, that city would be lit.
Well, you know what? Fingers crossed we're making the right moves to be able to, at some point soon, be in the big dance that we're looking forward to this weekend. So let's switch over to, you know, obviously what we're all going to be watching on Sunday. So obviously, just tell me, like, what the atmosphere is like over there, because I'm flying out tomorrow to join you. So I want to know what to expect.
Oh, I'm going to tell you something, man. Get your big boy pads on because it is live down here right now. I mean, I'm on Radio Row and there's Hall of Famers walking down this, you know, walking down this thing, entertainment people, movie stars. I mean, you're the biggest star when you get here, but crazy. It's like it always is. And you're coming at the right time because Wednesday is really the start of it, right?
Yeah.
And the hardcore dudes are in on Monday, but Wednesday it all starts and the show gets freakier as we get closer to Sunday. I mean, you can just ratchet it up because the A-listers will be in here about Friday afternoon.
Oh man, I'm really excited about this. So tell me about where the game could be won and lost by each team.
Well, I think, you know, when you look at this matchup, right, it's a kind of an interesting one because if you just say, and the football purist or, you know, the old school way of thinking is we got to win up front. And yes, you do. And if you say you got to win up front, then you're saying the Eagles got an advantage on both sides of the ball. But when you got a guy that can transcend the game, and I'm talking about Patrick Mahomes, even though I know he's hurt and all that other stuff, when you have a guy who can transcend the game, then, you know, kind of all bets are off. And he's got some threats. Now, if I'm an Eagle fan, one of the things I'm saying is, yeah, but, you know, Patrick Mahomes hasn't really, he's been in two Super Bowls, hadn't really played that well yet in one of them. He had a good fourth quarter against the Niners, and the Bucs were chasing him. He was running for his life against the Bucs. So we're a better, you know, they got to think, if I'm like, I'm a Philadelphia fan, I'm saying we're a better defense than either of those two defenses, so we're going to get after them. Now, Kansas City's nicked up at wide receiver. So that's another reason why I say I give a little bit of a nod to the Eagles. I'm going to tell you something. The only thing, other than Pat, the only thing that would make me say Kansas City's got the nod is because they have more experience in this game, and their coaches in particular have much more experience in this game. If you look at all three coordinators, Eric Bieniemy on offense, Steve Spagnuolo on defense, and Dave Tobe on special teams. Every single one of those guys is a multiple Super Bowl guy, right? And then you look at Sirianni's staff, and they did the same thing. And there's a lot to that because the madness of this week is unique. And until you've been through it, you know, it's a whole nother thing, man. So I think it's going to be an awesome matchup.
So, right. So now we've got to get you to... So we have on our show, we have Lock of the Week. This is the final lock. You're personally doing this. So who have you got? Who are we putting the lock on this weekend?
Oh, I'd say here's a lock. You can bet it. You can bet it. Bet the whole, bet the house, bet the ranch. Bet it. Listening? You cool?
Ready?
I'm going to give you a little bit of... I'm gonna give you a little build-up right here, a little silent build-up.
You know, I love this.
Bet that an African-American quarterback will win this Super Bowl.
Oh, come on, Jeff.
No, bro. And you know what? I had to get that in there, you know, because I think it's such an amazing, special thing. For the first time in the history of the game, 56 games have been played. 57th will be this Sunday. We are going to have two African-American quarterbacks squaring off for the Super Bowl champion, right? And you know what, man? That is a epic moment for sport. I'm not talking about for culture and for sport. And I think that's one of the storylines in this game that is, you know, maybe, I don't know if I'm talking about, right? Because, you know, if you ever get a chance, Emmanuel Sanders, who's my boy, right? He did a feature on Jimmy Ray, who was he played quarterback at Michigan State, first black quarterback to ever win a national championship in Division I college football. And what those guys struggled through, what they had to deal with, you know, Shaq Jefferson and, you know, all those cats that, you know, had the talent but never got the opportunity. You know, this is a special, special weekend for those guys, for every kid. And hopefully for the young kids that are out there that will realize, hey, doesn't matter the color of your skin, It matters how good you can play.
I mean, it's taken too long to be able to get to this stage, but hopefully this is the start of you know, many more. Definitely, I'm half letting you off because you pulled up my heartstrings there. you got me good there. So all right, so when I see you next, then I'll be able to get a solid prediction from you at the moment. I know who I'm going for, but yeah. you know I'm a, because obviously I'm a Giants fan. You know who I'm going for, because there ain't no way that's the Statue of Liberty or the Empire State Building will ever be lit up green again. Red, just like this light here.
Oh boy, listen, you tell. All right, I'll tell you my prediction, but I gotta get a plug in here. Super Bowl is gonna be live on Sky Sports NFL, 10 o'clock in London. You gotta tune in. It's on ultra high def for the first time ever. So you're gonna get the best picture you can imagine. And again, we'll be taking the commentary from the Fox guys. Ryan Fitzpatrick will be in the studio. Christian Wilkins from the Dolphins will be in the studio. It's going to be a great, great show. And I am going to say that the Philadelphia Eagles will win the Super Bowl.
We got a split here. We definitely got a split. Jeff, you with me? Hello, Jeff, you with me? Ah, cool. All right, I got you back.
Yep.
All right. Yeah, no, we got a split here. So all right, we're going for one team each. But you know, but the winners will be the people that tune in to Sky Sports this weekend. As Jeff said, you know, it's gonna start from 8 o'clock, ultra high def. I'm definitely gonna be watching that. You know, obviously, you know, we'll be watching it in 100K or whatever that is, because we're watching it in real life. But the next big thing is obviously to watch it on Sky. Thanks for Sky for this opportunity to be able to speak to you. And Jeff, I'm going to catch you over in Arizona.
Yes, you are. Hey, man, and I'm going to say this too. And you know, I watch your career grow, and I watch what you're doing and what you guys at Virgin are doing, and it's awesome. Keep up the good work.
Honestly, it means a lot, honestly. Thank you so much, honestly. We're working hard. I'm trying to get to where you are.
Don't get where I am. Get past me, man.
Thanks again, bro, honestly. And then check out more content. Obviously, not only just the Super Bowl content, also when we got the draft coming up on vergemagazine.co.uk. And check out Jeff on social medias, because he's going to be like all over doing big things as he normally is. And then obviously check out myself as well. But until then, we'll catch you guys post Super Bowl. We'll see if this light's still going to be red. Peace.
All right, brother.